Well, good morning, everyone. We are going to worship and we're going to be excited and celebrate today. So let's get started.
Hosanna, God, the God who saves us.
How are y'all doing? Awkward pauses. Good. Let's just focus on tonight, today, the fact that God is with us. It's his breath in our lungs.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
Thank you. guys can be seated.
Hey, good morning. We're going to do things out of order today because I'm evil. That's not true. If you don't know me, you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. Hi. We're going to do things out of order right now, and we're actually going to move from that song where we proclaim that God is in fact good and that he's amazing, and we're actually going to spend time right now in offering. Spend time just worshiping him with our finances and saying, God, you get my first fruits. You get everything about me, and I'm going to trust you with my money, just like I trust you with everything else. So right now, not giving to the church, not giving to me, you're giving to God and you're saying, God, I trust that when I give what I give, you'll take care of me, you'll take care of the church, and you'll take care of the kingdom of God. So right now, take a moment to reflect, honor God, glorify God, and then right now we're going to move into a time of offering while you watch this video. I don't know if you've ever seen the skit, guys. I got to see them live a couple months ago now. Feels like forever ago. They're hilarious. But before we get too far into the message today, we aren't just expecting you to go knock on your neighbor's doors without handing you something that you can use to go do that, okay? You may have noticed as you walked in that we have door hangers. This isn't because this is how we do ministry, but because this is a tool that helps you go to your neighbor's houses and let them know that Jesus does in fact want them here and want them as a part of the kingdom. So if you grab a couple on your way out, I'll talk about this a little later, but if you grab a couple on your way out and put them on your neighbor's doors, if you have more than two neighbors, take more than two. And then on Thursday, wow, I'm going to confuse you. On Wednesday, we're going to meet right here, and we're going to go at 4:30 and just jump into the community that's right next to us and riddle the community with these. I once had a pastor, he said, it's littering for Jesus. I'm not okay with littering, I like the earth, but we're going to litter for Jesus. So if you want to come on Wednesday and get to know our neighborhood that we're actually directly a part of, come with us. Got it? Can we all agree to this? Okay, these are pretty. I spent hours and hours. Go do something with them, okay? All right, now let's pray and let's just open up this time to him. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are a God who is bigger and brighter and more amazing than anything we can fathom. I thank you that today and this week we get to celebrate how good you are. God, overwhelm us with your presence. Make it so that we can't help but sing and dance and praise you, God. Just come into our hearts and into our worlds and radically change who we are so that the world can see you. God, I love you and I thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, this week we're going to be heading into the season of Easter. How many of you are excited about Easter eggs? All right, that was a few hands that were really exuberant. I like it. How many of you have traditional Easter food? I know some families do pizza, right? I didn't know that was a traditional Easter food, but if you're Italian, it's always traditional, right? Okay. Ham, how many are ham? All right. How many of you do turkey? How many of you are vegetarians? Yes! There's at least four or five of us. I like this. We all know each other, too. We're like, hey, have you tried that vegetable? And it's besides the point. Well, we celebrate Easter with all sorts of food, all sorts of activities, all sorts of games, with Easter eggs, with all sorts of fun things. And then we get to the week of Easter, and we go, yay, he's risen. And we forget that it's a celebration. So today, this week, we are going to start the celebration out. And we're not just going to sit back and praise, yeah, God's good. We're going to praise him because he radically transforms us. Well, I have to tell you a story. When I was in junior high, I was that quirky, awkward kid. I think all junior hires are, but don't tell junior hires that, okay? I was a quirky, awkward kid, and I was in Bellflower, California with my family, and we decided to go to a Christian bookstore. Now, this is back in the day when there was a Christian bookstore on every block, okay? Now, today, in the here and the now, I think I know of like one. They're not as prevalent. So we went to one. I have no idea what one it was. Don't ask me. There were a million back then. And we went to one, and it was this huge warehouse building. And they had this thing that you could do. You could go grab, like if you wanted to buy a CD, you could test it. Okay, this is before MP3, so you couldn't just like hit a button and listen. So they opened one of each CD so that you could go and bring it over to the little Discman and put it in the Discman and put your little headphones on, and not in-ear buddy thingies, okay, like headphones, ugly things that probably gave me diseases, okay? You put those on and you put the thing and you push play and you can just sit and decide if you want to buy that CD. Now you go on iTunes and you go and you click it and it gives you like 30 seconds, right? This is old school. But it's after tape, so it's not that old school. So I was there, and that's what I went to Christian bookstores for. I loved Christian rock. It's not very rocky, but I loved it. I loved the good old Newsboys and DC Talk. Anyone? There's like three of us that are nerds. All right. And so I went, and I was trying different CDs. I was putting them in. I was listening. And next thing I know, my dad comes and taps on my shoulder, and I go, "Hello, beloved father." I think what I said was, "What?" Okay. And he goes, "You need to stop." And I was like, "But I'm allowed to listen. These are like test seats, his tester." And he goes, no, you're singing, and the whole store is hearing you." And I realized in the moment that what happens sometimes when we put headphones on is we don't even realize, because we're so enthralled with the experience that we're singing. The problem is when you put headphones on, a lot of times our singing is, no one else have that experience? Some of you are like, "You're weird." Yes. So I'm sitting there and I'm enthralled with what I have before me. And I realize celebration, especially this time of year, is not about forcing ourselves into a mood or creating a tone, but instead about putting the headphones of the Spirit on so that the Spirit of God can pour out of us and we can't help but celebrate. That's what I want for us. I want this church to put headphones on and start praising God because everything in us is pouring out because we can't help it. Celebration is not a twisting of the arm. You will have fun and you will praise Jesus. No, celebration is, oh my gosh, I cannot help but be in awe of who God is. I haven't even started preaching it, guys. Come on now. But that's what we're talking about. So we're going to open up Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. Okay, he's coming off of a couple different parables. We heard a couple different stories throughout Luke. We've been walking through Luke semi-slowly and also very rapidly at the same time. It's very conflicting. And now we're at the last week, the week of Easter, the week of celebration. And yes, Friday's going to bring a little bit of somberness, and I think all of us, in order to understand celebration, need to get ourselves to a place of somberness. But today, we start with Palm Sunday, and you'll notice there are no palm leaves. We'll get there, okay. Verse 28, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So we start with this story, and I need to paint the picture a little bit for us, because I think sometimes we read the Bible and we forget that it's a real story, okay? So imagine with me, you're standing at the top of Camelback Mountain. I've gotten about halfway up, so pretend you're standing halfway up on Camelback Mountain. How many of you have climbed Camelback Mountain? Okay, how many of you have seen the pictures that they took? Okay, so we at least get an understanding of what this is like. But what is happening is Jesus is now headed to Jerusalem. Luke, from chapter 9 of Luke, is heading to Jerusalem. Jesus is heading to the final destination, which is the cross and the resurrection. And we're almost there. And this is kind of the last pit stop. He's about a half a mile away. And so he's standing on this mountain, like Camelback Mountain. And I don't know if you've seen this, but you can see everything. Especially because we live in the desert and not in California, so there's no smog. Okay, you can see everything. And this is the scene that Jesus has. He has his disciples, which it's more than 12 at this point. It's dozens, maybe even hundreds at this point. And he's with them, and he's looking down at this scene, and he's going, "I'm coming." And the world can see him. I have a student who's in Rome right now, and she's standing, and you can clearly, if you're on top of one of these mountains, in the whole Roman Empire, you can see the world, or what they thought was the world. So he's standing there ready to make the proclamation big and bold and loud. "Hey, world, I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm here. And the whole world can look up and go, he's coming. So he's within like throwing distance. He's ready. He's pumped. And he pulls his disciples and he grabs two, specifically two disciples, and he gives them a task. Well, if you're a Bible nerd, like I tend to be, you're going, why two? Which two were they? What's their backstory? Where were they educated? What happened to them? Who were the two disciples? Anyone else? All right, a couple of you that are pitying me. Okay, so we get the two, and I'm going, who are the two? And I researched, and I researched, and I researched, and I researched, and you know what I found out? Nothing. Finally, I pick up one commentary, and all it has to say to me is, we don't know who the two were, but Luke does that on purpose. And I was like, why would Luke do that to me, okay? And then I realized, if Christ is in fact for everyone, if Luke's goal is to say that everyone is included, then those two could be anybody, and it's supposed to be that way. Could have been me. Could have been you. Could have been your neighbor. Could have been your best friend. Could have been your mother-in-law. Could have been anyone that you have encountered. And he leaves it that way on purpose to say, hey, guess what? The ministry of Jesus Christ is going to go out because everyone is included, because we are participants. So he gets two disciples, any two, could have been me, except not because I wasn't there, okay, but could have been me, and he says, go into the village, and when you get to the village, you're going to find a colt, a young donkey, could have been a young horse, pretty sure it's a young donkey, and you're going to find him tied there, and I just want you to untie him, and if anyone asks, hey, what are you doing with my donkey, just tell them, well, the Lord needs it, okay, totally weird, I'm not going to lie to you, if Jesus is like, go do this, I'd be like, okay, which stable am I going to, what are the cross streets? Okay, and what about this? And what, right, we do that with God. We're like, okay, God, I know you have something for me to do, but I need some clear guidance. I need some specificness, when in all actuality, Jesus very rarely gives specifics. He just says, go do this, and you will find that I'm already working things together for good. And so they're headed that way, and one of the words that you probably will pass by, and I want to bring it in on this, is the word untie. He says the word tied and untied multiple times. And you're going, okay, it's just a filler. That's Jesus's Jesus doesn't have okay? He was very coherent. He says untie multiple times because he's reflecting the idea that we're going to untie from the traditions of the past, the things that have held us back, and we're going to allow Jesus to carry us forth to the next scene. I don't know about you, but when I figured that out, like, I got chills. Because no longer are you bound to your past, to your family system, to whatever it is that's been holding you back. Instead, we get to untie from whatever it used to be, and Jesus is going to get on the donkey, and he's going to lead you to where you want to be, to where you need to be, to where we get to be together. You see, untie is important because I get to unleash from the pain that the past has given me, or unleash from the traditions that have been holding me back for centuries, and I just get to go be with Jesus. So already he's setting the scene. So the disciples do this. We haven't even gotten to anything yet, and I'm like sweating. This is great. All right. Verse 32. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. Okay, there's a couple things. It seems like a simple response, but one, I want to give you confirmation. When God tells you to go somewhere, he will make sure that it happens. When he tells you to go and get the donkey, he's going to make sure the donkey is there. You will not be surprised that God's going to undo a plan that is perfect. You will not be surprised to find that when God calls you to go do something, he already has it worked out for the good. You're not ever going to be surprised at God's goodness. Now, you may be shocked at how amazing he makes it happen. Because usually it's like, hey, go talk to that person, and all of a sudden they're being baptized, and they're now pastors. Like, it blows your mind, right? But don't ever be caught off guard that when God calls you to do something, something good happens. And so they head in, and they go, and they find this colt, and they begin untying it, and the owner says, hey, what are you doing with the colt? Did you catch the word? It's not, hey, that's mine. Back off my stuff. Why are you trying to take my little property? Why are you taking what I own? No, it's the colt. Because not only does Jesus include the two disciples, which could have been anyone, could have been us, but he includes people that you don't expect by using their resources. and they get to be included in the kingdom of God through their gifts. This cult owner wasn't one of the disciples that could go down and make things happen, but he could be a part of the story of Christ by giving of himself. The things you own are not yours, they're his. So for some of you, God's saying, hey, I need you to go down into the village and untie the colt. And for some of you, he's going, hey, I need your colt. But either way, Jesus is opening the doors and including people into the message of Christ, into an action of participation. The gospel is not something where we sit back and hear it. The gospel is something where we get to be participants. We get to go engage the world. We get to go set the stage. We get to give our resources so that Jesus can walk in. Jesus could do it without us, but he's choosing to do it with us. He took the two disciples and he took the colt owner and he allowed them to be a part of the story. Then I think it's brilliant, the disciples' response. They say, verse 34, they replied, the Lord needs it. Now, I have been doing ministry for a few years, decade or so something, and very rarely do I hear when someone's called into ministry or called to do something or challenged to go participate, very rarely do I hear, okay, the Lord needs it. Most of the time what we hear is, I have a lot of stuff to do, or I'm not eloquent in my speech, or money is going to be tight, or excuses, excuses, excuses. And then when we actually finally go to do the ministry, we try and feel like our job is to pump Jesus up. Yeah, Jesus is great. He does his miracle and does his one thing and does his one thing and does his one thing, which is great. But sometimes all we need to do is go to our friends and say, the Lord needs you and the Lord loves you. I think, and maybe this is just me, maybe this is just what I think, but sometimes I think if I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, then the gospel doesn't happen. If I'm not participating in this and this and this, then Jesus can't be working there, when all reality, Jesus is already working and Jesus is making the move to make the cult owner generous. Instead, all we need to do is say, well, God, just like John the Baptist, and point them back to Jesus and say, it's not about me, look at Jesus, because Jesus is going to do the work, not us. Jesus does not need me telling him how to do ministry. He's already changing lives. You don't need a 10-point sermon. You don't need... Please don't do a 10-point sermon anyway. That's miserable. But you don't need to tell your testimony to every person on the street. Maybe just what God has for you to do is, hey, God loves you. And that's your part. Time and time again, I hear people say things like, well, I keep asking my neighbor to come to church, and that's all I do. Hey, you want to come to church with me this week? Hey, do you want to come to church with me this week? Hey, and for years, nothing. And then all of a sudden, your neighbor's here. Why? Because God is doing the work to get them. You are being faithful and saying, hey, come to church. The reality is God's going to do God's work. We just need to say the Lord needs it. So it continues, verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put it on Jesus. As they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Okay, so now they get the colt and they bring it up to Jesus. And how many of you, I won't tell your kids, how many of you have been to a rock concert? Okay, how many of you know what happens at rock concerts? Okay, now how many of you know what happens at rock concerts and you still went? I'm just kidding, put your hands down. Okay, there's something that happens at rock concerts that I've always thought is crazy and bizarre and kind of foolish. Girls will, this is PG-13, girls will take their shirts off and throw them at the band. Have you guys seen this before? If you haven't, it's because you're not at the rock concert with those other people, okay? But it happens all the time, and every time I'm like, you're crazy, like, that's ridiculous. Why would you be taking your shirt off and throwing them at the band? And then I read this passage, and I went, maybe they're not that crazy. They're just throwing their shirt at the wrong people. Maybe we need to start, and please keep your clothes on today, okay? But maybe we need to symbolically take our clothes off, saying, God, I trust you with my finances, my family, and my friends. Here's everything I have. Even the shirt off my back is yours. Maybe we need to be more like those people at the rock concerts who are saying, it's not about what I can provide, but about the one who can provide it for us. Maybe it's now our time to get crazy for the gospel. Maybe it's our turn to be so radically transformed by the gospel that we're putting our headphones on and we can't help but give him our shirts. We can't help but give him everything we have. Maybe it's time that we look like we're at a rock concert. And people go, oh, who are you listening to? And you say, Jesus. I think sometimes I drive down Osborne all the time. And I think sometimes the Giants fans, are there any in here? I'm a semi-Giants fan, whatever. Maybe the Giants fans are more excited about the Giants than I am about Jesus Christ. And the Giants only win every other year. Jesus wins every day. Maybe we need to start looking like those disciples who are going, I don't entirely understand what God's doing, and we don't. But Jesus, you can have everything. You're my Lord. Lord means that Jesus can handle your finances, your family, and your friends better than you can. Lord means Jesus can handle your finances, your family, and your friends to transform the community and the world around you better than we can on our own. Maybe it's time to be Giants fans for Jesus. Maybe it's time for us to go to a concert for Jesus. So it doesn't stop there, okay? They throw their cloaks on him, and they had under-robey things. Don't worry, they weren't running around in their skivvies. Is that a word that's used? It is now. All right. Verse 37, it gets even better. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. Now, I want to pause before we get to that next part, but I want you to hear something that happened in that verse. Okay, in Matthew and in Mark, it was a crowd came and celebrated Jesus. A group of random people came to the celebration of Jesus, but Luke makes a differentiation. He says a crowd of disciples. You're going, okay, well, so what does that matter? Well, here's why. If we don't celebrate Jesus Christ, if our community doesn't look excited about Jesus Christ, then why would anyone else celebrate him? If we don't start the trend of exuberance, then why would anyone else want to praise alongside of us? It starts with us as the disciples being overwhelmed by the Spirit, putting our headphones on and not being able to help but to sing out, and then going into our neighborhoods, and then people go, you're crazy, I want some of that. Yeah, we're crazy. But it starts with us. It starts with your leaders. It starts with you being transformed by the gospel so that when we go outside and are accidentally singing songs about Jesus Christ, they go, you've got something that I don't know about. It starts with the disciples. It's our job to introduce the world to the glory of Jesus Christ through our celebrating. It's God's job to transform them. It's my job to go into the world and praise him in every place that I go and everything that I say, so that when we get out there, we cannot help but be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God naturally, so that when people look at us, they go, I want what they have. But for some reason, we pretend that, well, I'm a Baptist, we stand like this, and hi, is that awesome? And I don't mean to jab at us, but we hide under the guise of being Baptists all the time. We're not Baptists, we're Christians. We're not Baptists, we're celebrators of Jesus Christ. And I've seen just as many Baptists as any other denomination praise God with everything within them, that it transforms the world around them. No more excuses. Instead, we go, this is God. This is the one we've been waiting for. Look at the mountain. He's coming. He's here. And we get to celebrate, and we get to teach other people how to celebrate. Good music breeds good music. Well, that's the same thing with our praise. Good praise breeds great praise. Let's be different. Let's not hide behind, well, I just don't want to sing and dance. Okay, if you're not a singer or a dancer, I'm not either. Okay, I pretend I'm both. I'm not. But guess what? He doesn't care. John all the time says it's a joyful noise, not a beautiful noise, that brings glory to God. But I challenge us. That means we have to be ready for God to transform us so that when we put our headphones of the Spirit on, we cannot help but praise the King. No more excuses. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Doesn't end there, though. I can't pick it up now. Okay. In fact, this next thing seems amazing to me. Verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. You ready for this? Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, I didn't pick up on this right away. I did some research, and it became very clear that they are specifically saying peace in heaven, because back in the early chapters of Luke, the angel showed up to the shepherds, and they go to the shepherds and they say, hey, the king is here, he's born, he's over there, go see him. And then they say, peace on earth. You see, then they started singing, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, because the angels were singing to the earth, saying, let there be peace for you, and we will praise the God for you. But now the disciples, the earth gets to sing praises to the heavens, saying, let there be peace in heaven. We don't need angels to celebrate for us anymore. We get to do it on our own. And now we get to be the peace bringers of the earth that run into the world and say, guess what? There's someone who has come for you. We don't need angels to sing for us because we've got it on our own. And we're excited about this Jesus who transforms the world, whose death and resurrection changes the trajectory of each person ever created. Then it gets better. Maybe not better, just as good. It's amazing. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. There was a song when I think I was volunteering in children's ministries at the time. I was in high school, and it says, ain't no rock gonna stand in my place. And I challenge us, let's not let the rocks cry out when we can do it. The angels don't need to sing for us. Nature doesn't need to sing for us. Instead, we get to proclaim the King of all kings because he is the Lord that can handle our finances, our family, and our friends better than we can. We don't need anyone telling us how to worship because he's entering into our world. We put our headphones on, and I don't care how good we sound, we cannot help but sing praises to him. He is a God that is bigger than our finances, our family, and our friends, and he wants to take over your world. He wants to transform you from the inside. Now, yes, you're going to have bad days. Yes, things are going to be painful sometimes. Yes, we're going to have to walk through trial after trial after trial. Yes. But I'm tired of letting the trials win when Jesus already did. So right now, this season, let's not let the world sing for us. Let's not let the angels sing for us. Instead, as we head into Easter, let's go tell the world about Jesus. In fact, I'm going to ask the band to come up right now, and I want us to proclaim him. I want us to proclaim him with everything in us. I want us to say, here is the king, and he's here to reign. And I don't want us to be held back by what other people think about us. I want the Spirit of God to overwhelm us. I want us to put our headphones on and just allow God to enter into us, and I don't care if you dance. In fact, that's awesome. I don't care if you're swaying, if you're clapping offbeat, if you're singing out of tune. I don't care because I'm tired of letting the world proclaim things and me not even let anyone know that Jesus is better. I'm tired of us letting the angels and the rocks do a work that we get to participate in. We're the disciples. Let's praise God so that the world can know us better. Let's praise God so that the world can know God better. Let's pray and then let's dance. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are bigger, stronger, more powerful than anything we can imagine. I thank you that you've already conquered death, and so we have no reason to not celebrate. God, overwhelm us. Let your Spirit be headphones. God, teach us to dance and to sing and to praise so that the world can know you, because God, the world so desperately needs you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Let's sing together, stand together.
Wherever searching. our God has come to bring us back to Him.
Song we did first, we're gonna do that again because that was cool. We're gonna sing Hosanna.
Praises rising, eyes are turned. Thank you.
That was cool. It was good. Kurt, good riff. I might not be able to sing or play the guitar, but I know some musical terminology. So, hey, you can have a seat real quickly. Want to address a couple things. Well, not address a couple things. Want to address one thing, and it's Holy Week. 168 hours in 1 week. The gospel writers spend more time talking about the final 168 hours of Jesus' life than anything else. You will be amazed when you read the gospel stories how much time they spend on this last week of Jesus' life. This week, we want you to be involved in what's going on around us. And it starts this Wednesday at 4:30. We invite you to be here to help go out into the neighborhood and put out these door hangers that have been created. Have information about what's going on here in our community of faith and the different events coming up. And then we invite you to be here, and you can take this as all in your bulletin. Be here on Thursday. It's called Monday Thursday at 6 p.m. We're having a Passover Seder. And I was asked after first service, well, is this that meal where we just eat a couple things of parsley and some other stuff? Or is this going to be an actual meal? It is going to be an actual meal. We will be participating in the different symbolic things that Jesus and his apostles experienced at that meal, the last meal that they shared together. And I got to tell you, it's a powerful experience. We'll be looking at the significance of what Jesus Christ went through on the night before he was betrayed. And so we invite you to be here at 6 o'clock for that. And then on Friday night, we invite you to come back at 6 o'clock for a Good Friday service. A Good Friday service is going to be a very liturgical service this year. And I'll just tell you, we're celebrating today. But on Friday, it will be somber. And it should be somber, frankly. And so we invite you to be back in this room as we have an interactive experience, but a very somber experience, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us so long ago. But yet it happened so long ago, yet it has an impact today. And so again, that's at 6 o'clock on Friday. And then we want to invite you to participate and take a period of time on Saturday. And church tradition says that Saturday, which is the only day where Jesus Christ is in the grave for an entire day, we invite you to be here to pray from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Some of you are going, well, I'm not going to, 12 hours? No, I'm asking you to be here for a portion of it. We will have prayer stations set up where you will have the opportunity to walk, to read through, and perhaps write some poetry, whatever the case may be, and pray and make it very interactive during that time. If you have 15, 20, 30 minutes, if you want to be here for 12 hours and pray, that would be cool. We're not going to say, hey, you've prayed too much. All right? So that's from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Day. The students will be having a service at 7 a.m. over in Winfield's. It is always energetic. It is fantastic. We'll hear a couple students share messages and what God's doing in their lives as well as what God is saying to them through his word. And then we'll have our service at 9 a.m. and at 10:30, and we invite you to be here for that. Because the next time all of us gather together on a Sunday morning, you'll get to hear these words. He is risen. And you respond with, you guys are getting ready, all right? This is a great week to celebrate, to remember what Jesus Christ experienced for us. We've provided these opportunities for you to engage, perhaps for the very first time, in a very significant way, what Jesus Christ did for us, what he accomplished for us. God is good, and he is risen, and we get to celebrate that throughout this week, reflect on his death on Friday, and then celebrate on Sunday that he is risen indeed. May God bless you today. May you enjoy it. The annual meeting's going to start here in a few minutes, so God bless you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for celebrating with us this morning. God bless you.